It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hope everyone's having a great Friday, Spring Friday in the city of Chicago. Hope you're safe and getting through all of this as we slowly reopen some of these. What phase are we in again, guys? Three?
Three.
Moving into three?
Phase three.
Phase three, which means that Cap gets the phase three tattoo this weekend. I don't know if you heard on Cap and Company, Cap has pledged every phase we get to, he will put the name of the phase on his bicep.
Can Pritzker add a few phases then? Can we get up to 10? So, send him back there every week?
Yeah. Jesse's here. We'll have Waddle back on Monday. He's in South Carolina. A lot going on, actually. The NBA is gearing up towards July 31st. Is sort of the date. We haven't gotten into a lot of NBA except in Waddle's world. I want to get to that. We've talked some baseball having Jesse here, and this is the Ozzie Guillen surprised me with this. Ozzie, hardworking guy is a grinder. Bob Nightingale tweeted earlier this afternoon, Jesse, there were no economic proposals exchanged today between the players and the union, between the players' union and MLB. The last proposal was a sliding scale proposal submitted by MLB on Tuesday that the union called very disappointing. Ozzie retweeted that and said, cancel the season and move on. Does that surprise you?
No, because I think some fatigue sets in, and here's a guy that's not managing, right? He's not in the game, so it doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't affect his paycheck necessarily or whatever you want to say about it, because he's not in the middle of it. But I think that it's an example of fatigue regarding this situation. And it reminds me of something. I was just on the phone, as you mentioned, with some, you know, baseball source, and they put it this way. It is as nasty as we've been portraying. It is right now awful between the sides.
Really?
But it might be best, and this is advice for Ozzie even, to turn off the news. Now, this is not going to happen, but turn off the news. Yeah, ignore it. Turn off the news. Close your eyes. Open your eyes again in a week and see where we're at. Like, it is dirty. It is messy. But in 10 days' time, all of a sudden there might be an agreement, and we're looking back at those nasty days as long in the past, right?
Hasn't that been your advice to fans when fans tweet you?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, this is the nasty time of negotiations. It could still continue in that direction, or a week or 10 days from now, we'll be looking back and saying, okay, that was the beginning of something that ended in a positive light. But right now, it does feel like there's a lot of fatigue about the owners and players going back and forth, and there hasn't been a lot of movement, but there's going to need to be. And early June is some sort of a soft deadline. It could be a 60-game, 80-game, 100-game season. That's still not determined. I think the league is set on 80. But I like that kind of advice. Like, you don't want to hear how the sausage is made, right? We don't want to know how the steak appears on your plate. You certainly don't want to hear that. But you want a good steak at the end of the day, and that is still – there's still hope for that to happen.
But to that point, though, this is on the owners, because they're the ones who are leaking the majority of the, you know, they're the ones trying to apply the public pressure on the players by releasing all these reports to certain people and basically trying to paint them into a corner to get the extra, you know, to get them to agree to a deal that is more favorable to the owners.
Yeah, that's what I think I said on Hood Show last night. I really would love to see the players propose something and force it back on the owners to say yes or no. Put them in the corner a little bit. Make them come out through Manfred and say we like this or we don't like this or whatever. It's all been the owners leaking and the players reacting in a nasty way, and it's kind of made the players look like the whiners and complainers.
I think,
well, push it back.
I think, though, Jesse, the 100-game proposal was their way of giving them a counter proposal, because I've seen plenty of labor union attorneys point out that once the players offer a new deal, they are basically reopening the negotiation in March that they're clinging to, because they don't want to give up the prorated. They've been adamant that the proration is what they want. So by them proposing a 100-game schedule, that's basically them, you know, giving them a counter offer without actually reopening the prorated salary.
Right. It's a great point. It's a great point. They want to stick with it. That's why one agent told me today, all right, maybe we could get to the point of getting paid for 82, but playing 100, because at least it sticks to the idea of getting paid for half a season. But that was kind of a tenuous thought.
Jesse, from what I've understood, the owners don't care how many games. They want less games because it just costs them money to operate the baseball team. So if you're giving them 100 games on an 82 salary, they don't care because the income isn't increasing even though you're playing more games.
Right. In fact, they might say, no, let's play 60. You're right. That's where the big divide is. The players assume, maybe rightly, maybe wrongly, that the owners make money for every game played because the TV revenue will be good. But without the game day ticket revenue, it's not so good. And that's the divide that we're at right now. So close your eyes, turn off the news, wake up in a week, and hopefully there's a deal.
Yeah, and hopefully they would be smart enough, like Meller said, to stop leaking it. I know the owners think they have a lot to gain or they can win a PR thing. Or like Blake Snell wants to be really candid with his Twitch audience, and Scherzer is very well respected, so he's going to tweet. I just think in the big picture, with the landscape the way it is, that I agree, like Abdallah said, like this isn't the real world, and you're not Mike Trout, and you're not these players. But the one thing that I think we all can agree upon is that leaking stuff or you trying to win a war in a PR battle right now is not helping anybody.
Right. And here's the thing. The Players Association is not going to muzzle their players. They're just not going to do that. But that doesn't mean that things can go on behind closed doors in a respectful and positive manner. In other words, let them have their public say, especially if you're a player, they're young, they have their social media. Let them have, what does Tom Ricketts care if Kyle Schwarber tweets, you know, or not about him, but about the in general, like Max Scherzer's tweet the owners didn't lose any sleep off of Max Scherzer's tweet, but behind closed doors, civility takes over and the moment is understood by both parties. We can't let this go, you know, we can't let this fall apart. So we're in the public stage and not a lot getting done behind the scenes, but over the next 10 days, hopefully things quiet down a little bit, at least behind the scenes, and a deal can be had.
Did the person that you were talking to believe that there is a chance that there may not be a season?
Yes. Everybody I've talked to believes there is a chance. I think if you'd asked 2 months ago, there was still a chance. Maybe it was more about the health back then. But everyone believes there's a chance it won't happen. No one that I've talked to says it's the likely outcome, though. Again, that could be wishful thinking. No one puts it at an under 50% chance that I've talked to. So you gotta think that's good news, at least.
Jesse, we were just talking. We were joking. We ripped Meller because Meller said, like, if health cooperates, if we can find a way to get ahead of this and we could find ways to have these sports safely, that we could have, like, by the end of July, we could have all these games going on at the same time. We could have the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. We could have our football teams into preseason and training camps and everything like that.
The Masters, the Triple Crown.
Right, right. And like Mallory even said that it's too much and we ripped them. But can you imagine if you're going on, well, okay, here's TNT. TNT's got the NBA. And then, oh, you go to NBC Sports and there's the NHL. And then all these other stations with all the – and then baseball's dark. Can you imagine in July or August when they're supposed to own the summer and they would do that to themselves? I mean, Waddle doesn't believe it will have the huge long-term impact, but to me it will you couldn't have anything worse for the sport than that.
Right, you couldn't write a worse script. Everybody else opens up after this crazy crisis, and baseball doesn't. Like, you couldn't write anything worse. What would be worse than that? So I hear you. I think about your show. Think about your show in the fall, and not one word will be spent on baseball if it's not around, because you have so much to talk about, so much on sports radio to talk about if all this goes down at the same town. Baseball won't be talked about until February, and in Chicago, it'll get its time, but in other places, it won't get its time. And I worry more outside of Chicago, because I've been around Cub fans for a long time, so I know they'll be back. But I don't disagree. The overall effect to the game will be monumental.
And don't forget, Jesse, if the NBA does reset the clock like they want to with the schedule, because they're forced to, that they've always been open to it, and if they decide, okay, well, we're going to get this and we're going to have a champion by October or whatever, and we're going to have the free agency then, and then we're going to start on Christmas, that the baseball in general will have more competition than it usually does in the summer. And if they go through a summer where they don't even compete and then the NBA resets its clock, it's another way for Major League Baseball to continue to grow their audience older and not get younger and have no one care about them.
Yeah, they know all this. So let's see if the 11th hour brings the deal. That's the thing. It could be ugly all the way up until that moment. But I agree with what Meller said. I don't think the player, or I don't know if it was Adam, the players aren't coming off that proration, so they better come up with something more creative than that.
Our buddy Mark in Lake Forest, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mark?
Gentlemen, how you doing? So in the last couple of weeks since my paper was published and the Washington Post picked it up and endorsed our recommendations, I mean, there's really a lot of significant hurdles that need to be addressed if I'm the PA or if I'm the league. And none of the experts that I have spoken with, who are part of, you know, some of the biggest infectious disease educational facilities in the country, have been consulted about this. So all I'm trying to get at is I'm not sure who's talking to whom about the public health risks over and above what the union may or may not be asking for, if you understand what I'm saying, or the league might be asking for.
What are the biggest hurdles, Mark? I mean, what are the, as in general terms, that they don't, that you think they may not be accounting for?
Testing. People seem to think that just it's easy to get testing. There's four different kinds of tests for COVID-19, and it goes by different stages of where you may or may not be infected. And so the point I'm trying to make is our country only has 15% of the total testing capacity available today. And every time somebody gets tested, it means that somebody who might be gravely ill isn't being tested. I mean, in my opinion, that's a public relations nightmare waiting to happen.
Yeah, isn't that up for debate? I mean, the league is having its own lab that was testing for steroids, now turned into a lab for the virus. And aren't they donating tests to all the local communities? And by July, won't we have it? I don't know. I thought you know, they were going to be able to check that box off. I think the number one risk, and even talking to my most recent source, is still the idea of one player gets through that's positive, we're in big trouble. I mean, one player infects the locker room, they're in big trouble. And there's bound to be one player that gets through the safety net.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jesse, but I guess I would say this, is that there's nearly 100 manufacturers right now in the country that have received what's called an emergency use authorization. Okay, and so the federal government or the FDA has granted them that. So ultimately, there is nothing stopping the federal government from saying, you can't have those tests. They're now ours because people are sick. And remember, we're at 15% capacity right now. We should be at 80 to try to emerge from a pandemic. I mean, this isn't, in my world, this isn't a slam dunk by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm concerned about that because it's serious.
Yeah, something to for sure keep our eyes to, and all this arguing over money, and we don't even know if the health risk is going to be there, and people will stay. Mark, we always appreciate it. Thank you.
You guys got it. See you, guys.
There's Mark in Lake Forest. Good stuff there. 312-332-3776. Jesse, we were talking during Waddle's World about the NBA. Like, what is should it just be like John Greenberg, our buddy at The Athletic, thinks the simpler the better. Just get 16 teams, play the playoffs, and let's go. I don't agree with that. We'll get to that coming up next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So Adam Silver today said to the Board of Governors that they're looking at July 31st as the start date of whatever they're going to design. We still don't know what they're going to design. Is it going to be 20 teams? Is it going to be 24 teams like the NBA, like the NHL? And then you have some sort of a play-in. Will you give out buys? General managers like filled out a survey, and the results were basically a mishmash of stuff. And I pointed this out during Crosstalk. 16 general managers thought that, hey, if you're in the playoffs right now, you should just start it. And so that would go with the numbers, right? I mean, there are 16 teams that make the playoffs, and you would think that the teams that are in the playoffs right now, like the Orlando Magic, think that you should, if you're in, you're in, and if you're not, you're not. And then the other teams go home, and the teams that are in the playoffs play, and then you start back up, and you just start with the postseason.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at the conferences, and no one is within three. The ninth seeds are like three or four games out, you know, and I mean, I don't know. I would just go right to the playoffs. So I'm going to disagree with you. I would go right to the playoffs. Maybe I would almost maybe because I kind of have fallen in love with the single game wild card elimination. Maybe do a one game. If you want to do a one game play, and that would be interesting. But then I would go best of seven for the first rounds, or, you know, for every round of the playoffs. But also because I've been on this baseball thing, simpler is better. John Greenberg is right about that. The simpler you go about your business, the less likely things will fall apart. For example, if there are, you know, spring training at Sox Park and at Wrigley Field, they might play a couple exhibition games against each other at the end of spring training. They're not going to risk mixing the teams more than one or two times because for games that don't count, for example. So same thing here, adding extra teams just adds more players and the possibility of an infection, and adding more time to the playoffs means more time for an infection to get through. So I feel like simpler is better to get through a playoff, because the worst thing that could happen is a whole team gets infected.
I still think you've only played 65 games. I like the fact that if you don't feel confident that you can safely do this to begin with, you shouldn't be doing it to begin with. So if you do feel that it's safe enough for, you know, 16 teams times 15 for that many players, why not four more, where Damian Lillard's on the Trailblazers, where Zion is one of the biggest draws out there, where the Spurs and Pop have a good brand name. They are so close. I mean, 36 losses is where New Orleans is. Memphis is 33 losses. They're all within shouting distance, Jesse, with more than double-digit games remaining. So I like the way the NHL is bringing 24 teams, and they will also utilize that time to like start up and to get into better shape, to be playing these games and to be playing these tournaments before the actual playoffs begin.
If they can create a real bubble, I guess that, but how can you know if you can really create a real bubble? So my point is, going back to what you said, if it's safe enough to start up, then it should be safe enough to do this other stuff. But none of these plans are 100% safe.
None of them, right?
So,
right.
So I mean, you do have to minimize the risk, and that's what I'm getting at.
How much risk are you minimizing if you have, what is that, 60 less players? I mean, that's players, and then you have support.
Yeah, you got to add, I think someone was on, I don't know if it was Ramona that was on with Carmen Yurko or somebody was on with Cap, but they were saying you got to figure basically 30 people per team, based on coaches, right, traveling staff, players, everybody. So to add three more teams is adding 90 more people. That's 90 more tests. That's 90 more people that could get it and spread it. So you have to say, well, we can do, if we do 16 teams, it's less, you know, plus they're also trying to factor in ways that, you know, family members can come in. That's 90 more, you know, like it's
which is important in my opinion, because if the players aren't happy, what's the point of doing all this?
Right. And I almost relate it back to what's essential and what's not essential. Those are words we've used during this pandemic, right? What's essential? Well, you got to have a full playoff. That's essential. Or else then you go back to what's the point. What's not essential? Setting up a matchup between Zion and Anthony Davis or whatever it was you said. You know what I mean? That's not essential, these made-for-TV moments. Playoff, to me, would be essential.
I know. Yeah, I gotcha. But, boy, would that be delicious. You're telling me Zion against Anthony Davis and LeBron. Zion, okay. Did you see the ratings that Zion was doing when he came back healthy and the numbers that he was putting up?
And to your point, I will say that you're right. Like, if you want to make the best of a strange, awful situation, then doing as much as you can, including the things you say, would be the argument. I get that. And if you're telling me the three extra teams pretty much creates no extra risk, even though Adam laid it out, let's just pretend like the bubble is real. They can do this. Then maybe you're right. But I've been on this baseball thing where minimizing risk, you know, the travel schedule is going to be all Central Division. So that's been in my head this whole time. The less is better, in a sense.
But that's funny about the baseball stuff. We've talked about that. If you're traveling, what's the difference if you're traveling to – because you're going to fly to St. Louis, aren't you?
Right.
So, okay, you're still getting on a plane. You're still going through to the hotel. You're still getting on a bus. What's the difference between going to St. Louis and going to Pittsburgh?
I haven't gotten a great answer on that. There will be more busing, like even between road cities, you know, maybe Cincinnati and Cleveland, if you're, you know, whatever the case may be. So, again, by doing that, you do minimize. But if you reduce 4, 5, 6 flights, I guess you're minimizing risk. That's the point.
Will series be longer between teams in baseball?
It remains to be seen. There is a thought that if you're going to play the Reds twice in Chicago, you know, two different series, you would just play them over 7 days.
Six games right away and out of the way. So you only go to each city once.
Right. That is a possibility, but I don't think they've figured that out yet.
Interesting. 312-332-3776. So, that's how I feel. I feel like if you're going to the extreme of getting the bubble city set up and you're dealing with hundreds of people as it is, yes, analytically, you would be reducing the risk a bit. But I still feel like, is it a substantial lower amount compared to what the reward could be? For now's the time in sports to experiment. This is the 1 year. This is the 1 year where you have everybody with the DH. The Cubs and Sox are playing pretty much in like the same region, you know, for real games. So now let's have these play-in tournaments, just like the Hawks have been invited to in the NBA.
Let's say they do that or they go right to the playoffs. Let's talk about the actual play. I mean, could it be completely upside down? NBA is star-driven. I mean, we kind of know. Maybe NHL. The NHL is even more interesting in that respect, right? Because 8th seeds go to the finals. I mean, I would imagine the NHL playoffs would be wide open. Right. I'm just talking about because of the break. Who knows who's in shape? Who knows how this guy's jumper is, this guy's slap shot is, or how ready this goalie is. Now, they'll have a training camp. I get that. But no one's ever gone through something like this, stopping your season and then restarting it months later. I mean, I wonder if the Memphis Grizzlies all of a sudden are the third best team in the league, even though they're .500 right now. I don't know. I think anything's possible.
Yeah, I think basketball's tougher. I think talent will reign more so, but I think you're absolutely right, where we see it all the time. A team who's an 8 seed go down 0-3 to the number 1 seed in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, they could win it all still. You know what I mean? We've seen that before.
It might get really interesting if you go into the NBA in the second round, where you have, we're just talking generally the top 4 teams usually squaring off against each other, and you have potentially more talented teams playing each other where game 7 comes into play, but now you are in a bubble city and there's no real home court advantage. You know, for a team like the Lakers are playing like the Utah Jazz or, you know, maybe the Houston Rockets in the second round of the playoffs and they get to a game 7, there's no home court. There's no real advantage for the Lakers that they would normally have.
Right. Right.
Even more fascinating to me would be baseball. I mean, let's take the White Sox, for example. You'd think a young team, they don't have the experience, 80 games, they just can't get it done. On the other hand, what if they get off to a fast start? There's teams that do that and fade because they haven't done that grind before. Now there may not be time to fade. I think baseball, in terms of the standings, could be completely upside down, and some hot team ends up in the playoffs you would have never predicted.
I think the White Sox are one of those teams that you got to look out for. And what if Kopech comes back now? Because he had all this time. They didn't think he, in the regular season, they'd be back till halfway point. Maybe he's ready now. Maybe you don't have to worry about like the innings as much because you're playing such a short season.
And on the other side of town, how about your buddy John Lester? Give him 15 starts instead of 30. Watch out!
We know
he has it in him to pitch well for a certain amount of starts. 15 could do it for him.
But Jesse, you're the one who's been quoted on the station as saying John Lester needs the first 100 innings to work himself into shape.
Oh, good call.
That was me quoting him, not my analysis. That was me quoting him.
312.
Times change.
332-3776. If you want to weigh in on the basketball with the NBA looking at July 31st, should they trick it up a little bit? Or do you just go basic and just end the season, the season's over, and just start the postseason? How should the NBA make their way around this whole thing? If you want to weigh in on the baseball conversation, plus we've got what to watch for coming up at 445. Jesse's in for Waddle on Waddle and Sylvie.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
I want to get to Jesse's conversation about bad habits. He suggests that he's picked up some bad habits during this pandemic. I was just thinking about something. We'll get to that here in a minute. Let me take Eric in Morton Grove. Eric, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Calling from Morton Grove. I guess your mom's on the other side of town. But did you guys want to know what's going on with the horses and everything down in Springfield and Hawthorne opening up next week and Arlington? I mean, they had a racing board last week, Friday. I can inform you guys on what's going on.
Sure, that's awesome. So when are we betting on the ponies?
Well, the state came out with their minimum guidelines, and I've been talking to people that are stabled on track at Hawthorne. The contact guy you should bring on the radio, I mean, Jesse, I know you know Slim Jim. Bring on Jim Miller and let him explain it to you. They're going to come out with their own protocols. And, Sylvie, I sent you the protocols. I mean, it's like a 7-page document. It's got an affidavit. I mean, stuff like this is probably going to relate with sports. But they had the qualifiers today down in Springfield, 37 equine athletes, 11 from well, there's so much going on down in Springfield and Chicago, Arlington. You guys are aware of the percentages that happened over the weekend with the slots bill, right? The big capital bill, they changed the percentages.
No, I don't. Eric,
no.
I mean, really quick, because
you know horses. You know what's going on. I mean,
I know Arlington's not opening. Arlington's not opening, right?
Well, they were talking at the meeting, you know, and they're all under oath, and they're saying that they want to have a short 30-day meet because of this dark money. The thoroughbreds get so much. The standardbreds get so much, and everybody's kind of kumbaya'd come together. Hawthorne and Arlington are working together. All the horses that are racing are stable at Hawthorne right now, and the issue is bringing the thoroughbreds to Arlington and then opening up the meet. But you've got all these furloughed employees that, you know, at Arlington. That's the issue. You got to bring all these people back just for that 30-day meet.
Sure. Eric, thank you. I think, is Jim Miller on tonight, guys?
The odds couple.
So he was alluding to Jim Miller. Jim Miller's going to set everyone straight tonight at 6. What time, 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock for the odds couple.
Okay, 7 o'clock odds couple.
I thought one of the interesting things regarding the pandemic is that, and I've talked to Eddie a little bit, horse racing didn't shut down in certain places. That's like the only business that kept going. Gulfstream in Florida was going, and I think in Arkansas it was still going. That amazed me that they kept racing during, I'm talking about the peak of the pandemic a couple months ago.
Sure. All right, so you wanted to bring up this topic about bad habits that you've acquired since the pandemic.
Yeah, and so I'm going to fudge a little bit. It's one I had, but I think I've gotten away from, and I'm going to be honest.
Oh, really? You were able to kick a habit?
I was able to kick it because you'll understand once I say it, and it's not probably uncommon. starting to drink myself to sleep at night. it was. I'm not kidding. It was one too many. You know what I like? The Crown Royals, right?
You're on the Tom Waddle plan, I see, huh?
Yeah. And that's not
Jesse drinking himself to sleep.
Right. That's not me. So it was early before there was any baseball news for me to really cover it. It was like, hey, Jesse, we want you to do, you know, where are they now? And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that, you know.
Time to have another beverage.
Right. And I was staying up late. Tracy would be asleep. And I'm just going through the news, you know, the 10,000 deaths, 15,000 deaths. So I'm not saying I was depressed or anything, but I'm just saying. So I think I kicked it. So the only thing left is I have been staying up very late, but that's not an awful habit. So I could have fudged and said I'm still drinking myself to sleep, but I think I kicked it once baseball kicked into gear for me when I had to cover stuff more, you know, the news. So that was probably 3-4 weeks ago at this point.
You know what I've got on tap this weekend? So I've been dry now for over 3 weeks because of, you know, the treatment, and they say, you know, with the liver function that it's not good. So tomorrow, Abdallah, tomorrow, edible time for Sylvie.
Oh, so you're going to get edible fingers?
No,
you said wine fingers.
I'm going to put the phone. Like, I don't know how I, because that's not, it hasn't
Sylvie's
been
gonna
my thing.
Sylvie's going to tweet out, why do we have hands?
So that's tomorrow.
Twitter's going to be great tomorrow.
I'm
Waddle
not
going to.
Twitter. And that's, you lead me into my bad habit too, is I think what this has done for most people is it's just the phone. The habit, it's already habitual. It's already a terrible addiction. What I'm trying to do, my wife and me, is to detox from that phone. That when I don't need to be prepping, that phone needs to be away from us.
I know my kids have played more Fortnite. Now, I know that's not on the phone, but, you know, same thing. We got to detox from some of the things we've been doing for 3 straight months.
God, and it's just, it's you want the information, you want everything going on. So it's just that default of you're in this, you're not going anywhere. There's no adventure. So what do? You pick up your phone even more. And the addiction of the phone is just the worst. And the way I feel now when I put it away for dinner and just put it away, you feel so much better.
I heard Jeff Passan on with you yesterday, and a similar thing for reporters, and that guy's, you know, even a level above me. It can be 24/7 during a time like this, right? Because news can break at any time. Last night there were minor leaguers being released. We were texting back and forth at 11 o'clock at night. So it's the same. Everyone has their thing, you know, when it comes to the phone. A reason to be on it, and you're so right. We have to push back from it. At least during dinner, put it away.
You got to. Yeah. What about you guys? Mel or Abdallah? I'm sure, Abdallah, you have no bad habits.
No, I probably got 5 pounds worth of bad habits that I've added to my...
Just five?
To myself. Yeah.
That's your hair alone.
No, I know. I was going to say, if I get a haircut, I might cut that down to 3. No, I don't know if I have any bad habits. I do like the curly hair, though. I'm gonna probably stick. I'm gonna get it trimmed, but I'm not rushing out there to get a haircut today, because, you know, I know most of the state is open except for Chicago. I'm not driving to my, you know, out to the suburbs because I need a haircut. Like, I see stories of people driving 3-4 hours just to get a haircut. It's like,
right?
It's
Fred put out there that you got it for Great Clips, obviously,
yeah,
a great partner.
But that's in his neighborhood.
You got to get on the waiting list. You know,
yeah, that's in his neighborhood. I get that. But I'm in no rush to do that. I mean, I don't think I really. I look at my phone more, obviously, but that's just because I'm not looking at TV. You know,
because there's no sports.
Because there's no sports. But other than that, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not really drinking anymore.
Really, you've gone fairly dry.
Yeah, I mean, just usual drinking. Like, there's no, you know. I probably drank less.
Because of social occasions?
Yeah, because we're not going out. Yeah. I'm not going to dinner and polishing off a bottle of wine with my wife at dinner, and we're just sitting at home instead. So because of that, I think I'm probably drinking less.
What about you,
Mallory? It actually makes sense on a level.
I feel I've been fairly productive with the time. I bought a bike.
Oh, yeah?
So we've been biking with the kids more recently, which is nice.
I'm going to try and get Mason up and riding this weekend. He just turned six. Some of the kids who are five can do it.
I think that's the best motivator, Sylvia, is shaming the children and saying, look, he's younger than you and he can do it, so you better get over your fear real quick.
He doesn't really care, though. Bike, when we were younger, the bike was everything. It got us places. Now they don't give a crap if they ride a bike.
Every kid's different. It's just a mental thing. Because my son was able to ride his bike when he was like just turned five. My daughter literally just learned during the pandemic. She's nine.
Wow.
So it's really just a mental thing when they feel comfortable, you know, when they want. Once they get over the balance and they're okay with, okay, I'm not going to completely fall. Once they figure that out, it's fairly easy. But I think every kid's different, and there's nothing you can do. It really is just each one's individual, you know. So
I think I did open up this Pandora's box. So my wife and I were supposed to go to five weddings this summer, summer into fall. There's so many weddings. But now everything's been pushed off. And she's at home because she's not working right now. She's a teacher, so she wouldn't be working anyway right now. But so I did hope, she was like, well, what if could we maybe, you know, look into getting another dog? And I opened up this Pandora's box by saying, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. Oh. I'm not kidding you guys. During the show from 2 o'clock to now, I've gotten 12 dog links to adoption dog. And this is almost every day. It's never just a couple. It's always 12 or none. So yesterday, none. Today, 12 dogs. So I have a feeling that by the end of this weekend, I might have another dog.
Are the Abdallahs a no four leg dog household?
Right. No, right. That's kind of my rule.
Your one demand is the dog has to have four legs.
My one demand is I would like because let's be honest, my other dog is she has three legs and she's getting up there in age. She's 11. So you know, this is a
will this help her or hurt her?
I think it'll help her because she's kind of lethargic now and maybe she'll play a little more because she can't really go anywhere.
I've had the same conversation with my wife and I flat out refuse because I don't want our current dog to have to interact now with a new puppy.
We wouldn't get a puppy.
You're completely, your dog's name is Penny, right? Or am I thinking of a different dog?
No, that's Penny.
So Penny, you're going to completely, you know, she's 11 years old. You're going to completely destroy her world by bringing in a brand new dog into the household?
I think she would like a friend. She likes other dogs.
You better hope she will.
She can't interact with other dogs now because we can't see people.
You're going to be capped. The next thing you know, you're going to have eight dogs in your house.
No. We live in a small apartment and two is a stretch. That's why we have one and three quarters.
We thought about fostering a dog. I know a lot of people did. And then my wife said, but you're going to go back to baseball games, and I'm going to be stuck with a dog.
Right, right.
And I imagine Sylvie Braxton's a handful. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's where we're until the kids could sort of take care of themselves. Right. We're not going to take care of, we've already ruled out a third kid. So I definitely do not want to be potty training a dog at this time.
And I truly love Mason and Braxton. I really do. They crack me up. And of course, I say that as an uncle, right? I'm there. I'm entertained
uncle
by them.
Jesse.
And then I leave. Yeah. They are so much fun to be around. I'm not just saying
Thank you.
But then I get out of the house.
Yes, you do. You get to leave. But they are fun. Coming up next, what to watch for. I picked up a new show. You guys are going to laugh, and I'm looking forward tonight. I think tonight, where I'm going to get to finally watch something that I've been waiting for that's been on What to Watch For a while ago. So all that coming up next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Jesse's going to bring us to the new world of covering sports at about 5 o'clock. Mark Jean Greco at 5:30. Hope you're having a great Friday as we ease into the weekend on a beautiful spring day in the city of Chicago. And soon we'll be able to head to some outdoor restaurants. I think in the burbs you can already. And the city is early next week. Let's get to what to watch for.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
All right, boys. So I've finally started some new TV. And none of these, I don't think, are new to the segment. I'm sure, like, Meller or someone else has brought this stuff up before. But, one, tonight, I believe I'm going to finally watch Uncut Gems. It's on Netflix now. So, I've never seen it. Have you guys seen
No, that's on my list for this weekend.
For Adam Sandler, Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett's the one who's gotten the rave reviews, right?
Yes, he has. You know, but I've had this conversation with you guys before. I am terrible with sports movies. I'm so critical of everything in them that I never truly appreciate them.
Really?
Isn't it a sports movie?
It's more about gambling,
right?
It's
about gambling, but I'm telling you, whenever there's a sports aspect, I'm just too critical and I never enjoy it.
It's not real. That would never happen.
I hate to say it. I kind of agree with him.
Thank you,
Jeff. I'm a little bit like that as well. I've heard that before, so it kind of that surprised me. You said that. I feel that way. I just this little in the back of my mind. I'm like, whatever,
I pick out the flaws, and I can't help it. But like, it always bothers me, and I can never truly enjoy a sports movie as much as other people.
But back to Uncut Gems. My wife saw it, and she's been after me to see it for a while. She says it's like a little disturbing. She doesn't want to even watch it again.
Don't give anything away.
I'm not. Nothing more than that. It's kind of intense, I guess.
It's the first Adam Sandler movie that I've wanted to watch, like go out of my way to watch it when it's new, since like some of those movies in the 90s, you know, like Billy Madison and all that.
Gilmore.
Yeah. What was the one when he was a dad? Like, was that
Big
one?
Daddy.
Big Daddy, yeah.
And then there were in like four Grown Up movies, Grown Ups 1,
yes,
Grown Ups 2, all that
I
stuff.
Never liked the Grown Up movies.
Yeah, I like the early stuff better too. But I'm telling you, Tracy swears by this movie, but she doesn't necessarily want to watch it again. But so it was good.
And then so the TV show, I mentioned this before to you guys that I was going to eventually watch it because it's short. It's you know, there's some comedy aspect to it and I could use a comedy in my life. And it's something that my wife can watch, too. That's very important as we get ready for bed where it's not, you know, something where she doesn't like and then I like or vice versa. We finally watched that first episode of Dead to Me. I like it. You know, like, See Red Fred said to me that like, huge plot twist in it.
It's really, really solid. It's just one of those ones where maybe it was never completely, it still left me wanting more, but.
Okay.
It's not bad. You know, I can definitely, I can get on board and co-sign that recommendation.
And I've always been a Christina Applegate fan, so. Dead to Me is on Netflix. So what do you got? What do you have, Jess?
Well, I've started binging something. It's in its second season, or its second season is over, but I just started watching it during the pandemic. Because I do like Billions, all right? Me and Cap have that in common. I do like Billions. What's Billions? I started Succession on HBO. It's kind of similar, this lifestyle.
So hot.
It's good. It draws you in. It's a little slow early, and then it draws you in. And it's entertaining and intense at the same time. So Succession's been my thing during the pandemic.
Succession is Billions if it was good.
Yeah.
I don't even know if Billions is good. Now, Billions does go fast. This Succession is a slow burn.
Yes,
and I think
exactly
there's an
right.
art to that. I think that's yes. why that's why
and
it's
I,
really good.
I think it might be episode 6 or 7, Jess, but just remember, so hot. So hot.
So hot. Yeah.
Okay.
It's Miller's favorite scene ever.
That scene, it's just
I'm
the
two
line.
Episodes. I'm 2 episodes behind on Billions, so I got to do some catching up on my rich, opulent shows. You know what I mean?
It's because, Meller, art imitates life for you, right?
You're disgusting, Silverman.
What do you guys have?
Maybe for you, Sylvie. I know you are, but what am I? That's the best I got.
I know, right. But dude, you guys have anything? You guys always have everything.
Yeah, there's a new show that comes out. It's not a new show, but it's the second season of a show that I love. It's one of my favorite shows that was out last year that was released. I'm biased because he's Egyptian. It's Rami. It's on Hulu. It won Best Comedy. It won a Golden Globe for Best Comedy last year. They're adding Mahershala Ali, two-time Oscar winner Mahershala Ali, to the cast this year. And it's hilarious. If you don't have to be Egyptian or Muslim, it's just a funny show.
What's it called?
Great. It's called Rami.
Rami.
He's
okay.
a comedian, and he. It's not about him being a comedian, basically. It's about him being, you know, Egyptian in New Jersey and, like, growing up. And, like, I, like, my sister and I love it because we, it's like how we grew up, basically. It's very funny. And you don't have to be Muslim or Egyptian to appreciate it. It's a, it's an all-around fun show.
Very good. Where is it again?
It's
you
on
say
Hulu.
Hulu. What do you have, Meller?
I feel like I've exhausted most of my recommendations lately, so if you've missed any of them, Waddle's said it on this show before. I know this much is true with Mark Ruffalo, been consuming that.
I watched the first three episodes.
Yes,
Waddle wasn't lying about being dark.
Man.
Yeah,
that guy's had a tough life. I've watched it, too.
Yeah, so that one's depressing as hell, but it's definitely great acting. Also, I think this might be a newer one. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of it, but I think I'm finally going to take the plunge. I believe it's called The Sopranos.
You've never watched it?
It's the only critically acclaimed TV show that I have not watched, I feel like.
I've downloaded
the first three episodes onto my DirecTV, so I think I finally will take the plunge over the weekend here and watch one or two episodes.
That's fantastic. What was the movie, too, that we didn't have time, and I mentioned it, I think, like a week
Bad
ago.
Bad Education?
Yes.
So
I took Meller's advice without even knowing that I took it. Bad Education is right now, if you are an Xfinity Comcast subscriber like I am, it is a free movie on demand. You know, one of those, it's like on HBO now, so you can get it on demand. And it's pretty new, isn't it, Meller?
Yes.
It came out in 1920?
I think it came out about 6 months ago, but like it got lost, I think, in the shuffle. And then HBO like re-released it for a viewing within the last month, and they really pumped it up over the last month, and I think it caught a lot more critics' eye this time around, and it stars.
I think Tracy would like it, Jesse. It's based.
No,
on
we
a
watched
true...
it.
Oh,
did you?
Did?
Yeah, we watched it. I didn't know it was 6 months old. We watched it like a month ago because we watch HBO. So yeah, it is good. It was very good. And
Hugh
I couldn't
Jackman.
Believe it was a
true
story.
Who else is
Allison
in it?
Allison Janney.
Yeah. Great cast.
Ray Romano and who's the other one? Christina Applegate's in it as well.
Yeah, and so that and that's one that is based on a true story, like from the 90s, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah,
I believe 2002. Yep.
2002. That's right.
We won't give away, but yes, a true story. I don't want to give away what he did. You know?
On Long Island. Yeah, it's crazy,
right.
But Bad Education. So there's what to watch for. All right, what are we watching for in sports with baseball? What's the latest? Jesse's talked to somebody today. He'll give you the latest, and what will it be like for him covering a game? Plus, Mark Jean Greco at 5:30. You've made it to your weekend. We're back in 2 minutes.